Bible. Dear friends, it's, you know, it's God's Word, and the means I was just talking to a gentleman from Romania just a few moments ago, and he tells me that, you know, he's looking for God, and he's waiting for God to, you know, do something, you know, like speak to him audibly, you know. Says he's read the Bible, knows the Bible, but he's waiting for God to do something, like a miracle, you know. But here's the problem with that, friends, is that the Bible is the completed Word of God, and the issue is that we don't need anything else, you know. The Bible, there was one guy, you know, he was already in hell, like, you know, and he was concerned about his brothers, you know, who were still here on earth. And he said, you know, he said that if somebody was to, you know, go and do some kind of miracle, you know, if somebody was to come back from the dead, you know, and tell them, warn them about these things, then they would believe, you know. And the answer that was given to him was that if his brothers did not believe Moses and the prophets, that is, if they did not believe the written Word of God, they would not believe even if someone rose from the dead, even if a miracle was performed before them. So miracles, you see, don't really prove anything. They don't really do anything at all. You know, it's the Word of God written has been given to us. That in itself is a supernatural book. Phenomenal book, you know, when you think about it, you know. 37 different authors in all kinds of different generations, you know. And they're all saying exactly the same things about God, about Jesus Christ, about man, man's condition and man's need. You don't find any one of them disagreeing with the other. You see, the Bible itself is a supernatural book, a miraculous book, provided for you by God. God breathed every single word of it. So when you open the Bible, you see, and you read the Bible, what you're doing is you're hearing God's Word, you know. And if you want it audible, then, you know, read it out loud. But, you know, God's Word is offered to you again. Here in Leicester City this afternoon, yours for the taking. You want one? You come and ask for one gladly. Give you a whole Bible if you want, New Testament, in its entirety, freely offered to you. Yours to take and do with as you will. But of course, as the Bible is freely offered to you, so too is the gospel. The good news, that is, concerning God's Son, Jesus Christ. Bible, you know, in the book of Romans, it says that the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, whom I declare to you here this afternoon in Leicester. It's a free offer of God's written word and a free offer of God's living word, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, the only Savior from that penalty of sin. And here's the thing, friends, you know, that there are some things that God would have you to know, and especially so before you breathe your last. One, that God is your creator. You're not a piece of chemical fizz, you know, that was hatched out in some primordial sludge. You're a man, you're a woman made in the image of God. God made you for His glory, and God made you to be loved and always will be, right to the end of the age. So God is your creator. The second thing is, God would have you to know, is that God is your lawgiver. He has given you His law because you're accountable to Him as being created by Him, and you're also obligated to keep His law. And when you break His law, live contrary to the law of God, the commandments of God, well, you become a lawbreaker, a covenant breaker. You become worthy of death. The wages of sin is death, you see. The wages paid out in full to those who break the law of God. So God is your creator, that's one. Two, God is your lawgiver. And then three, God is also your judge. He's judging you. Even now, presently, the intents, the motives, and the thoughts of your heart. He is judging you even now. But the Bible tells us, speaks to us, of a day, a great day, the day of the Lord, that is the day of God's judgment, full, final, consummate judgment, before which we all of us will stand. So that's number three. And number four is this, that God also could be your Redeemer through the Lord Jesus Christ, the one by whom the free gift of salvation comes. The wages of sin is death, but the gift, the free gift of God, is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So that gift of eternal life, that gift of salvation, that gift of love, that gift of kindness, that gift of forgiveness, that gift could be yours this afternoon, and God could also be your Redeemer. But there's a fifth thing that God would have you to know, and that is that there's a penalty attached to sin. The wages of sin is death. Not just physical death, that comes to us all. It's inevitable. It's inescapable. For the Bible says it's appointed for man to die once. So you're going to die. I'm going to die physically. We're going to breathe our last breath of this world. We'll be cremated or buried, whichever is your choice. But you see, friends, death will come to you. But then you say, well, you know, that'll be the end of it. No more suffering, no more pain, no more hassle. That'll be the end of it. Finish. End of story. Just a blank hole. Nobody knows. Nobody ever came back to tell us what it's like after you die. Well, yes, they did. Jesus Christ did. And He tells us in His Word, He says, it is appointed for man to die once, but after this, then comes the judgment. So you see, death is not the end. And when the Bible speaks about the wages of death, it doesn't just mean physical death, you breathing your last. That's not the end of it. It means three things, in fact. Number one, it means spiritual death, separated from God as a result of your iniquities, as a result of your sin now in this life. So therefore, already in a state of death, already dead as far as God's concerned, spiritually dead in your trespasses and sins. And only God, through Jesus Christ, can save you from that spiritual death, make you alive. But that's why Jesus came. He says, I came that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. dead, able to raise you from the deadness, spiritual death, from your deadness and sins and trespasses. Jesus has the power, you see. The power is given to him to have life in himself, that is, to give life to people. Thus, that is, who repent and believe the gospel could be yours today. You see, friends, there's a penalty attached to sin. Its wages is death, spiritual death, separated from God now, separated from your best good. Some of you youngsters, you see, I just want to live. I want to live my life to the full. But you go into the world, and you look to the things of the world. You look for prosperity. You look for pleasure and leisure. All these things, you know, but you don't find life in the world, because all the world can produce is nothing but death. Pick up your newspaper, anyone you like, any television news bulletin, and nothing but death, 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 nothing but death. Because the world cannot give you life. Only Jesus, the resurrection and the life, only He can give you life. But that's what He came for, that through believing on His name, you might have life. So that's the first aspect of death. You know, spiritual death, cut off from God, dead in your trespasses and sins. But there's a second aspect to death, and that's physical death. That's when you die. That's when you breathe your last. That's when you cock your toes up and go out of this world. And God says you go out the same way you came in, naked, with nothing. You never saw a pickford's van following a hearse, because you take nothing with you. Nothing at all. Ah, dear friends, you go out of this world bereft of anything. And here you are, you know, some of you are building homes, and you're building bigger homes, and you're building extensions to your homes, but are you building a home in heaven? Huh? Are you building a life and a character founded upon the rock, Christ Jesus? Are you building your life? Are you building your hopes and your future? Not just for time, but eternity. On the teaching, on the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. The wages of sin is death, you see. Spiritual death. Physical death. But then there's a third aspect to that death. And it's the second death, the Bible calls it. The lake of fire, following the judgment of God. The end of all unbelief. The end of all sin. The final consequence of sin. The outworking. The wages paid in full. The wages of sin is death. And those wages will be paid out in full. You know, God's not like some of these niggardly businessmen who treat their employees appallingly. You know, don't pay their wages in full. Deprive them, you know, of the wages that are due to them. God will pay your wages in full. He will give you your just deserts. He will give you what's due to you. The full, final, consummate, fierce wrath of God instead of the everlasting love of God. So you see, friends, that's the wages. That's the outworking. That's the payment. There is a payback time. There's a day of accountability when we all stand before God and give account of the things that we've done and what we've not done. And if you've not believed, if you've not received the free gift of God, eternal life, your end will be the second death, the lake of fire. So you see, that's the fifth thing that God would have you to know. There's a penalty attached to sin. But there's something else, you see, that God would have you to know. Number six, and that is, born of a virgin, born under the law, kept the law precisely and perfectly, every which way without sin. He lived and loved and died and rose again from the dead in order that through him that you might be saved. So that tells me, friends, that you cannot be saved. Two things you see that the cross of Jesus Christ plainly declares. One, no man can save himself, and two, all men need to be saved. Friends, if you could save yourself, if any man could save himself, there'd be no need for the Son of God to come and suffer and bleed and die and rise again from the dead. But do you think that God would put his Son through all that pain, through all that suffering, through all that shame, through all that business, and you say, no, I don't need that, I can do it my own way, I got my own religion, I can do it my religion, I can do it my unbelief, I can do it my way? I don't think so. No man can save himself. That's why God's Son had to come. That's why, you see, the Bible says, God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting eternal life. That's why Jesus says, he says, I am the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father. No one gets right with God but by me. You see, you can't do it your way. You can't do it yourself. You haven't got the power, the strength. You haven't even got the desire. Friends, lest that was given to you by God. You wouldn't even be thinking about God if a preacher weren't here speaking about God. No thought of God in your mind. No thought of God in your heart. No desire for God. No desire for holiness. No desire for salvation. Friends, that's the state of death that you're in. And friends, only Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom I declare to you, the one in whom is the free gift of eternal life, only through him can a man or woman be saved. By his death, his atoning death, God, you see, has made provision for your salvation. He's provided the blood sacrifice necessary, without which there can be no forgiveness of sins. Jesus is termed in the New Testament as the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, and who would take yours away, even today, even this afternoon, were you but to receive, were you but to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Eternal life and salvation would be yours. So you see, friends, no man can save himself. But number seven, there's a possibility, you know, because Jesus Christ, he has done everything necessary for a person's salvation. You can't do it by your works. God declares in the Bible clearly and plainly that no one will ever be made right with him by the works of their own hands, religious or otherwise. You know, morally upright, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Salvation is a possibility because the work has been done. Jesus has done it all. And our dear friends, here's the thing, you know, the possibility of you being saved. Bible encourages you to seek the Lord. You know, Bible, God says that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek after Him. Diligently, that is, with purpose, you know, suing God for salvation through the blood sacrifice of His own Son, Jesus Christ. Diligently seeking after God. Of course, while He may be found. Because here's the thing, friends, the Old Testament, it says, seek the Lord while He may be found, because He'll not always be to be found by you. Call upon Him while He is near, and He comes so very near to you in the preaching of the gospel. What I'm doing here this afternoon. It's what I'm doing here this afternoon. Does that seem like foolishness to you? God says that's an evidence that you're on the pathway to perdition. You're on the pathway to hell if you think the preaching of the gospel is foolishness. But for those who are being saved, it's the power of God for salvation. But here's the thing, friends. God comes oh so close to you in the preaching of the gospel. In the preaching of the gospel, He pleads with sinners. Surely as I live, says the Lord, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked. But rather that they should turn. Why will you die? For the eternal life is to be had in Jesus Christ. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. As He comes near to you in the preaching of the gospel, let the wicked forsake his way. A man's way in the Bible is his pattern of living. God calls upon you to renounce, to forsake your pattern of living, your sinful course of living, to turn from it, to forsake it. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man is thinking. It's what the word repentance means. It means a change of mind. You're thinking about God, about His Son Jesus Christ, about your sin and your personal involvement in sin. There has to be a change of cataclysmic proportions. A mighty change, a revolution within you, in your heart, a turning, forsaking your wicked ways and forsaking your unrighteous thinking. And beginning to think God's thoughts after Him, revealed in the Bible and in the Bible alone. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord. Repentance, you see, is only half the job. Repent and believe the gospel, Jesus says. The two go together. You must repent, you must turn from your wicked ways, and you must turn to God, return to your Maker, the God who made you and made you for love and to be loved. Ah, dear friends, return to the Lord, for He will abundantly pardon. Forgiveness with God. It's the heart of the gospel. That there is forgiveness with God, that there is a way back to God from the dark path of sin. And Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. other one is narrow. The narrow way that leads to life and the broad pathway that leads to eternal destruction. Which will it be? Which will it be? Choose Jesus. Believe on Jesus. Friends, if you do not love Jesus, you'll go to hell. You must love Him. You'd like to have a copy of God's Word.